Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye. Am I dating myself if I mention the name Bob Newhart? Do people know who Bob Newhart is? Before he went to his show on television, he had a comedy sketch that he would do. He was on Jack Parr and Johnny Carson, things like that, in the 1960s. And one of the sketches that he did was the psychiatrist or psychologist you hope you never have. Young lady comes in and she's got a fear of being buried in a box. That's her fear. And he's just comes out of washing his hands. And his first scenario is he walks her through about how it is the billing structure is going to work for the psychiatric visit that she's having. And he tells her basically, this is going to take me no more than 5 minutes, I promise you. It won't take me more than 5 minutes. And so she begins to tell him what her problem is. And he says, okay, now I want you to understand. I'm going to give you two words that will help you be able to know what it is you need to do about this. And she says, well, should I write these down? He says, no, most people can get two words without you having to write it down. So he says, okay, now listen to this very carefully. He gets very quiet for a moment, all right? And then he sort of springs across the desk and he goes, stop it! Now, an element of that is funny and an element of that is sad. Okay? I mean, you wouldn't want to have a psychiatrist or psychologist when you have a deep, profound problem, actually yell at you and say, stop it, because you might actually have some needs that stopping it is outside of your control. All right? But elements of that are the message there is at times actually a pretty good message. There's times for us just to stop it. Now, Jesus has been having a tough time with the disciples. He's been sort of yelling at them a little bit. He's been leaning across the desk and going, stop it! Because he keeps trying to explain to them what it is that he is being called to do in the world. The passage we just read here is where he has now told them the second time that he's going to have to go to the cross. And they basically say that that Mark tells us that they were afraid. They were phobeo. And the word phobia comes out of that. They had fear. Now, what we've done with the word phobia and how we've moved it into being a phobia is unjustified fear. It's fear which is inappropriate, fear which is greater than the circumstance necessarily warrants. A lady who lived across the street from me in Forest Park, Georgia, had agoraphobia before we knew what agoraphobia really was. All we knew was she never wanted to go outside. She was just afraid of going outside. And so the passage here is this thing of where Jesus has yelled at them. He's yelled at them in sort of this quasi, stop it, kind of mindset. And when they now go across the Galilean countryside, and Jesus intentionally wants to be small. He intentionally wants to be intimate. He intentionally wants to use this as a teaching moment. But their memory is so sharp of having getting yelled at by Jesus that they can't ask him, what's on your mind? He explains to them he's going to go to the cross. He explains to them he's going to rise again on the third day. And they were afraid. They were afraid to ask him what he meant by that. I don't know about Mark is silent on this as to whether or not that fear had any impact on the way Jesus then retold the story, but my guess would be it would. My guess would be it did. And so we pick up the story on verse 33, when they came to Capernaum, when they got home. That's what Mark is saying. When they got home, when they got to a place of safety, when they got home, some things happened. And when he was in the house, what house? His house. He asked them, what were you arguing about on the road? The memory of stop it probably is still pretty sharp in their minds, pretty sharp in their ears, pretty sharp on their psychology. And so they're again sort of afraid to say something because they realize that what they've been talking about on the road is about who's going to be the greatest. You ever sort of walk into the middle of a conversation and you realize that people all of a sudden got real quiet in the middle of the conversation? And you realize that what they're talking about, they're a little embarrassed over what they're talking about? That's what's happened here. Jesus has walked into the disciples and he says, what were you guys talking about? What were you dudes talking about on the road? What was going on out there on the road? And they go, if I tell him the truth, he's going to yell at us. He's going to yell, stop it. But he doesn't. He doesn't. He decides at this particular moment to be very pastoral, very kind, very gentle, very considerate. And what he basically says to them is this wonderful passage of which is whoever, he sat down. He sat down. Now, when Mark or Luke or John or Matthew say Jesus sat down, in the rabbinical world, in the world of rabbis, that means he was about to teach. I stand up. I come over and I stand up. That means I'm about to teach. But in Jesus' world, when he walked over and sat down, he said, I'm about to teach you something. Lean into this. Listen close. So he sat down, called the 12 over him and said, whoever wants to be first must be last and servant of all. That our 20th century, 21st century ears hear the next passage, and we don't get it. We don't get it. And I'm going to get there in a second. But he offers them this idea about children. Now, our ears, our eyes, our minds are colored by the fact that our children are very, very important to us. If I want to get Facebook entries liked on the internet, all I've got to do is post a picture of my grandchildren. That's it. Okay? I can sit there and post something serious that I'm sort of inviting people to talk to me about. Nothing comes back. Zero. All right? Zero. On the other hand, I post a picture of a grandchild and I get all kinds of comments and all kinds of likes. It wasn't the way it was in Jesus' world. Children were almost invisible. They were almost invisible. Paul talks about it in Galatians 4. He gives us this idea of what it is that children were. Children were like slaves. Children were non-persons. Barbara Tuchman, in her book, A Distant Mirror, talks about about the world of the 14th century. They didn't name children until they were 2 years old because the infant mortality rate was so high. And think about that. If you didn't name a child until it was 2 years old, how much love did you give it? That's the question Tuchman asks in her book. So Jesus gives us this illustration here, which to our 20th century, 21st century ears and minds, we hear it and we don't get it. All right? But what Jesus basically says, whoever wants to be first must be last. And he took a little child. He took a non-person. He took an invisible entity. And he put the invisible entity on his lap. And said, whoever welcomes this invisible entity, this invisible creature in my name, welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me, welcomes not me, but the one who sent me. So our mind, our ears, here we color it. But in his context, Jesus was saying, you have to get off of this focus on yourself. You have to focus on others. Now, just as in Matthew, just as in the Gospel of Matthew, over and over and over again in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says essentially, you have heard it said, but I say unto you. Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is filled with those. Over and over and over again. You have heard it said, but I say unto you. What Jesus is saying here, he doesn't actually literally say, you have heard it said, but I say unto you. But he's echoing back to the Old Testament. He's echoing back to Proverbs. He's echoing back to the idea that before you need to be, before you're going to be glorified yourself, there has to be an act of humility. Humility precedes that. Proverbs 15, Proverbs 18 are two examples that I could offer there for you. But humility is a vital component part of following the Torah. It's not about worshiping yourself. It's not about focusing on you and your needs. Rather, it's this chance for us to serve others. Jesus is saying that being a disciple isn't about being first. It's about serving others. He puts the child on his lap to give us this demonstration. The movie that I have urged all of us to watch is called The Way. It's Emilio Estevez, stars his father among others. But there's these four pilgrims on this journey. One comment that I've read is the fact that you're willing to undertake a pilgrimage is itself an act of humility. It's this recognition of the fact that who you are is not who you can be. And to be able to figure out who it is that you can be, you have to sort of be willing to take this journey and ask yourself what's going on. The four primary characters are Tom, whose son has been killed. Emilio Estevez plays the role of the son who's killed. And he's on this journey reluctantly. He doesn't want to be there, but that's where he is. And he's trying to figure out what's going on. And then Sarah's on the journey. She's a Canadian. She's fleeing from abuse. And then there's Jack. And he's on the journey because he's afraid and he's fearful of the fact that he's going to have writer's block. He wants to be Yeats. He wants to be Joyce. He maybe even wants to be a Shaw. But the reality is that he's momentarily hung in his ability to write. And then there's Yost. And Yost is described by Jack as someone for whom kindness is an instinct. He's this borderline catalyst of change. And they've been on the journey. They've walked this pilgrimage, and they get to a place, and Tom pulls out his credit card and gets them a place for the night. Now, the part of how you understand this scene, I'm going to drop you into 1 hour and 50 minutes into the movie. But you have to understand that what you're about to see in this scene is a moment of gentleness, a moment of kindness, a moment of humility, particularly towards the latter part of the scene, that is not part of the story. Except for Yost, as they move through the story up until this scene, all they can focus on is their needs. And you gradually watch how this changes in the middle of the scene. Why don't you turn it on for me there?
I couldn't sleep.
Me neither. Where's Yost when you need him, Nate?
Yost sells drugs. Watch Tom's face.
Oh,
Tom is quite literally gone in that scene. I mean, you can hear the annoyance. Stop it! He's frustrated. He wants to go be alone in this room. And as the 2 minutes evolves, he realizes that he's not complete. He's not complete without the others. This pilgrimage for him has been understanding that he has moved from a place of focus only on himself, only about himself, to a place of humility. It's a scene of grace. It's a scene of humility culminated in the understanding of the fact that we are complete when we are there with others, maybe even of being of service to others. Yost brings the liqueur. I think that's a great line, squeezed by monks. They're blind. But you can just watch his face changed and transformed. What are we to take from today's passage? I would suggest is that fear, if we're not careful, fear can cause us to do stupid things. Fear can cause us to not take on the hard things in our lives. It can cause us to, maybe even when we have a chance to listen to Jesus, we can get silent. We can hear this stop it ringing through our lives. And really, the reality is that Jesus wants to invite us to come in. At the same time, Jesus offers us this idea of the fact that we have to be prepared to deal with the non-person in our presence, the person who's on the fringe of the society, the fringe of the world that we live in, and be prepared to be of service to them. Today, we're going to serve communion. We're going to try to focus on this idea of humility in the words that we're going to offer up. Humility for the journey. Chance for us to stop and pause and know that God's story is a story of humility. God is in heaven and chooses to humble God's self in order to be with us. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who
Hilltop love is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.